You're cruising down the highway, windows rolled down, tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more, all for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News. Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. Stand up for your country. A very busy week, as you know, with the Trump trial and all these anti-Israel demonstrations going on college campuses and other places. We'll get to those stories. But first, on Friday, there was a major story that the corporate news media buried, but you should know about. And it took me a couple of days to really analyze it in a fair way, which is what we always do here. So I don't rush it on the air. But this is something that you really should pay attention to, and that is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. So Friday, April 19th, the Biden administration very quietly, all right, through the Department of the Interior, announces that they are restricting a mass amount of leases and drilling on federal land in Alaska. That's oil, shale, all of that. Okay, so to say, nah, you can't drill there. Can't look for any energy products there. Massive amount of property. Okay, this was the announcement. Go.
Today, President Biden announced that his administration is taking action to conserve more than 13 million acres in the Western Arctic and to honor the culture, history, and enduring wisdom of the Alaska Natives who lived on these lands for generations. From safeguarding sacred lands near the Grand Canyon to protecting Alaskan treasures, the Biden-Harris administration is conserving more than 41 million acres of lands and waters.
Okay, so this is a global warming play, but they're hiding behind the indigenous people. Okay, fine. Now, why should you care? Well, number one, what they're saying isn't true, according to Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska. Roll his tape.
I've been in the Senate 9 years. I have never seen such a cynical and dishonest display coming out of any presidency. When this president on Friday with Secretary Holland announced that they did this because the Alaska Native, the indigenous people on the North Slope of Alaska asked them to, they wanted them to. The leaders of the North Slope of Alaska were unanimous in opposition to this.
And that's true because the money that comes into the indigenous people through oil exploration and the other energy concerns is enormous. It's like a big casino gambling without the casino. Okay, but the Biden administration doesn't care about that because it knows that most America, oh, that's way up in the Arctic and this and that. But listen to this. So in the future, energy sales, the exports of energy, will make or break economies. So if you have to import oil like China, you are weak. If you export it and sell it abroad, like the United States, you are strong. Because we have more than enough energy here to support our own people and then sell abroad. And the more energy we have, the better, because then we don't have to buy any from OPEC, Saudi Arabia, these people. All right, everybody pretty much knows that, that pays attention. But here's something that's worse. So Biden is doing this to appease the global warming fanatics. That's why he doesn't care about the indigenous people. He doesn't know what the word indigenous means, Biden. Okay, so he's appeasing the global warming people. But there are two other huge oil exporters, Iran and Russia. Iran, let me give you some of the stats, okay? They sold $36 billion worth of oil in the last 12 months. $36 billion for Iran come into the Mullah's treasury. That supports all their terrorism all over the world, and it props up their secret police and military so the people can't overthrow the Mullahs, which they would if they could. So in 1 year, $36 billion cash right in. Now, who's buying? China is their main customer, but there are other people who buy from Iran. Are there any sanctions against those countries that buy from Iran? No. No. Biden doesn't sanction it. So he restricts our ability to harvest oil if we need to do it. But Iran, free, do whatever you want. Russia. Putin finances his whole government by selling oil. Okay? $100 billion last year flowed into Moscow. All right? That means he can invade any country he wants to invade, and he has in Ukraine, as we all know. He can do every nefarious activity on earth. Who buys from Russia? China, India, Turkey, and Brazil are their biggest countries that buy oil from Russia. The EU doesn't because of the war. Okay, have any sanctions been leveled against China, India, Turkey, or Brazil by the Biden administration? No. None. So this is so hypocritical, I can't even put an adjective to it. So Biden punishes America, but at the same time allows Iran and Russia to sell all the oil they want all over the world, polluting the world. What good is it going to do, global warming, if the oil sales in Iran and Russia are through the roof? Nothing. India and China aren't going to cooperate in global warming. Whole thing is just a ruse. So this is a terrible story. How many people do you think you know about this? Go out tonight, if you talk to another human being, or tomorrow, and ask him, hey, do you know what Biden did with the oil drilling in Alaska? They don't have any idea. They have no idea all the money going to Iran, all the money going to Putin. And Biden doesn't know anything about it at all, nothing. Oh, we're a big global warming warrior. Oh, my God. And I have to tell you, I know you're going to get mad, but he doesn't even know any of this. Biden, he's not capable of assimilating information anymore. That's the memo. Okay, Biden's schedule, he's in Tampa talking about abortion and raising money. That's what Biden does every day, raises money for his campaign, the Democratic Party. Doesn't work on anything, doesn't do anything, just runs around doing this. I will analyze his abortion remarks tomorrow in the context of his Roman Catholicism. All right? Because he still, Biden, uses his profile as a loyal Catholic. Okay, we'll see if that's possible, if he can possibly do that without being a hypocrite. So I'm going to do it tomorrow. It's a dangerous territory because I don't like to judge people on those lines. I mean, I'm the biggest sinner in the world. We're all sinners. We shouldn't be judging other people. The Bible is pretty clear about that. But this guy, Biden, over the top. Did you know every day is a perfect day for peace of mind? With American Home Shield Warranty, you are covered for unexpected breakdowns like leaky faucets or faulty water heaters. Choose a plan that fits your budget and rest easy knowing repairs and replacements are taken care of. Simply contact American Home Shield when an issue arises, and their trusted pros will handle it according to your coverage. Don't let worries about appliances and home systems weigh you down. Celebrate the reassurance of protection. Don't worry, be warranty. For 20% off plans, visit ahs.com/bill. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product is being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Bill. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/B-I-L-L.
All right, Trump. So the National Republican Committee, RNC, is saying that it's going to send 100,000 poll watchers out in November to make sure there's no cheating. I don't know if you need 100,000. Here's what you need. You need to go to Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Those are the three biggest cheaters in the country. Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee. Always have been. They're going to cheat again. So you want to put your resources, that's where you put them. I don't know if Lara Trump, we had her on a few weeks ago, knows that, understands that, but I've analyzed it pretty closely. Those three cities are incredibly corrupt when it comes to counting votes. And you know which way they're going. Trump trial. So it was nothing. Okay, so the guy who owns the National Enquirer, and you know, the National Enquirer, you know what it is, okay? He's testifying about nothing. Nothing. It's telling everybody what his magazine does. We all know what it does. I mean, you don't get lower than that. That's the lowest. Daily Mail is pretty low. I guess it's maybe a brawl. How low can we go? Limbo. So why do I need to know from this guy about his magazine? It's just a total waste of time. Get to the point. What do you got on Trump? Prosecution, what do you got? Oh, I hear about the National Enquirer. That's it. I got nothing else on it. Evangelicals and Donald Trump. So the tawdry stuff is still to come in the Trump trial. It's Stormy Daniels, some other woman. They're going to go up and they're going to say all kinds of tawdry stuff. Okay. So that, and then the press, the corporate media run wild with the tawdry stuff. We've all heard it before. Seen anything new when you read confronting the presidents? I mean, it's not new. Goes all the way back, Thomas Jefferson. Okay. So the evangelical vote is firmly in the Trump camp. And my question is, why? Trump is a libertine. If you read The United States of Trump, the book I wrote on him, he does what he wants to do. He's not constrained by the Bible or religious tenets. He does what he wants. Everybody knows that. Doesn't mean he can't govern. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. He's a libertine. Okay. Poll, Fox News, last February, on evangelicals. So, do you have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of Donald Trump? They asked the evangelical community. Favorable 65%, unfavorable 34%. That's a big number. Okay. How would you vote if the candidates were Biden and Trump? So Biden 47, Trump 49. That's total. That's total. Okay. Evangelicals, Biden 28, Trump 68. Beats Biden by 40 points. Joining us now is an evangelical. All right. But he's also a radio talk show host, and he's got a new book out. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? I've known ToddStarnes.com for a long time. I just recently met the .com, but I've known Todd as a human being for a while. He joins us from Memphis, Tennessee. All right, so you might expect with Donald Trump's flamboyant life, multiple marriages, you know, he runs around, does what he wants, as I said, that evangelicals might look askance at him. Why is that not happening?
It's a great question. And Bill, I remember back in, Thomas, in 2015 Mr. Trump had invited all of these evangelicals to come to New York City there at the Marriott Marquis in Times Square. And I was there in that meeting when it was basically an opportunity for some of these big religious leaders to ask some pretty pointed questions of Donald Trump. And look, it was clear that he's not a holy roller. He is certainly not a Southern Baptist. But it seemed like he was able to really hit those issues that impact a lot of evangelical voters like myself. And look, it was a matter of faith for a lot of these evangelicals to step out and cast their vote for him back in 2016. And I'll be darned, Bill, if he didn't deliver on pretty much all of the promises he made to the evangelical community, standing up for the big issues like religious liberty, like the culture war issues that you really brought to the forefront of the nation's conscience with the going back to the war on Christmas.
Okay, so Trump governed in a fairly conservative manner, socially speaking. That's true. So that's enough to override his private life?
I think so. And the reason why, and you mentioned it earlier on, I happen to be a Baptist. And like you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I think we've all seen that in our lives. I mean, we know the president's not perfect. But going back to the issues of governance, you know, when you look at our founding documents, and I write about this in Twilight's Last Gleaming, our foundational freedom in this country is freedom of religion. Everything else is built on top of that freedom. And I think we've seen that freedom come under assault for many years now. And I was very happy to see the president coming into office and really helping to shore up and bringing to the table a lot of the evangelical leaders, like Pastor Robert Jeffress or Tony Perkins from Family Research Council. That really said a lot to me because these men were giving President Trump good and wise and biblical counsel.
All right, but he's doing that because he knows that they're going to get him votes. I don't want to be cynical about it, but I know Pastor Jeffress very well. And, you know, Trump went out of his way to bolster him in Dallas, and there was a reason why. But when in the next few weeks, we're going to hear Stormy Daniels. You don't get much. I don't even know what word to use here. But you don't get much more dubious than Ms. Daniels. And another one is going to come in from Playboy. And they're going to describe stuff that's going to be pretty shocking to religious-based people. And how do you think the reaction is going to go down?
Well, I think, you know, I think a lot of evangelicals have seen a lot of that fornication on TV. And look, I think there is something to that as far as this is an issue for some people. But I think by and large, Bill, I think the average American voters are going to dismiss all of this. They see it as nasty, ugly politics. They see it as smears. And at the end of the day, I go back to something President Trump said a couple of weeks ago. He was catching a lot of heat for promoting the God Bless the USA Bible, this special gift Bible. And I think the problem was not necessarily promoting this Bible, which had been in existence for a couple of years, but it was what he said afterwards, where he said that if we really want to make America great, we've got to get back to church, we've got to get back to praying, and we've got to get back to reading the Bible. And I thought that was really quite unique and interesting.
Come on, Todd, anybody can say that. Sure. You know, politicians are politicians. I'm not demeaning what he said, what Trump said, but that's easy to say. Now, the final question is what I'm going to do tomorrow is Biden, Catholic, abortion. Okay. So evangelicals 100% are pro-life. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So you can't be an evangelical if you believe in abortion. That would seem to override a Stormy Daniels. To me, if I were an evangelical, I'm not. The abortion is so much more serious than any kind of thing that Trump may or may not have done with Ms. Daniels. But the press is never going to frame it that way. Ever in a million years will they do that.
No, and I think that's a fair assessment. And again, I'm with you. I'm not going to judge another man's relationship with God. But you look at President Biden and you wonder how in the world can this man profess to be a practicing Catholic and then stand in sheer opposition to the pro-life movement?
It's more than that, Todd. He promotes it.
Yes, he does.
He promotes it. The Biden-Harris ticket has made abortion noble. That's so far beyond the pale. I'm just stunned. But we'll get into that tomorrow. I want to read the audience. This is on page 251. You're wrapping up your book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. You say, I wrote this book so that God-loving patriots would no longer be silent in the face of evil. Why do you think so many evangelicals and other people of faith are silent? They don't rise up. You don't see mass demonstrations like you do on the left. Why?
Well, many of us have jobs, so we can't take off, to go march in the streets and burn down things. That's not who we are. You know, at the heart of an evangelical Christian, there's this idea that we are to be peaceful, loving people, which, yes, that's what we're called to do. But we're also called to stand up in the face of evil. And there's the great Dietrich Bonhoeffer quote, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. And I go back, I got the title of the book from a Ronald Reagan speech he delivered, making an observation about our national anthem, Bill. He said, our national anthem, it starts with a question, not with a declaration. Is the flag still flying? Can you still see the flag? And that's really a question that every generation of, I believe, God-loving patriots will have to answer for. We've got to stand up. And I think Christians of all denominations have a responsibility to stand up and be counted in the culture.
All right. Well, Todd, the book is Twilight's Last Gleaming. We recommend it. We appreciate your time tonight. And I hope we talk again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay. Now let's go to Chicago, a very troubled city. Worse than New York City. Not by much. New York City is tottering. Chicago's already fallen over the cliff. So Chicago owes this year, 2024, $538 million. City owes. Okay? That's a deficit. Can't pay. So if all of the Chicago bonds and all the munis and all that were called, they'd have to go for bankruptcy. So they're living on borrowed money in Chicago. $538 million. It's the third largest city in the country. Population, 2.7 million. Now they announce they're going to spend $70 million, money they don't have, to house, feed, and care for migrants that are pouring into Chicago because they know, the migrants do, that they'll get everything once they get in the city limits of the migrants. They'll be housed, you'll get food, you'll get whatever you need, medical care, education, boom. So you say, how can this happen? How can this happen? It happens because these cities and states, right, they borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow. And then when Armageddon, and it's happening in New York City, okay, the city is going to go over the cliff, then they go to the federal government for the bailout. But either way, we, the taxpayers, are paying. I bring this to your attention because these politicians, the mayors and the governors, all this, are doing all this in the progressive states. They don't give a whit about you or how much tax you pay. They want more and more and more and more of your money. They could pass a wealth tax. They tax everything you had. They'd seize it. You should understand what's happening.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arkseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast, Politics by Faith.
Campus update. Okay. So NYU today, the students walked out of class to be anti-Israel, Columbia, Yale, on and on. Okay. Now, this is a bit confusing to some people. They don't know why this is happening. So I went on News Nation last night, Leland Vittert, okay? And here's what I said. Go. So this is how it goes. The far left, which manipulates these students and runs these protests, hates America. They feel that the USA targets and denigrates minorities, particularly African Americans. They feel that Israel does the same thing to Arabs. They feel that Israel has stolen their land, has persecuted them for centuries. They're as evil as the patriarchy that runs America. There's a linkage. So the far left, which has a database of all their sympathizers at universities, blasts out, this is what we're going to do, and the lemmings do it. So unlike Vietnam, which was an organic protest, where people, and I count myself in this crew, when I was raised in Levittown, Long Island, New York, a working class town. And when we all graduated from high school, some of us went to college. I did. All right. But most of the men at 18 got drafted and went to Vietnam and came back and told me exactly what was going on there. And I knew these guys since I'm 5, 6 years old. And I saw one commit suicide and a bunch of them get addicted to heroin. And their lives were shattered. Nobody came back in Levittown and said, this is great, we're doing the right thing. Nobody. So that's how I formulated my view. This is Israel-Gaza thing, totally apart from that. The protests are not even close. One was a real negative experience the United States was going through that was killing tens of thousands of young men. The other is a situation that's been going on for 2,000 years that these college students have no blanking clue about and don't care. This is like a big social thing for them there and being manipulated. And that is the story. We got an eye on it. All these protesters are being arrested. Nothing's going to happen to them. And that's part of the problem. I said, look, I'm president of Columbia or NYU or Yale. You think that happens on those campuses? I'm president. You think it happens? Very simple. You can protest. We set aside this place for you to go. You can protest between 9 and 8 at night so you don't disrupt the campus or disturb the neighborhood surrounding. You go off that place we gave you, you're expelled. You don't stop at the hour we designate, you're expelled. That's it. You think those campus things will continue? And then once you're expelled, you're not entitled to be on the grounds of the university. So the security removes you and all your stuff in your dorm room is put in a box. That's put an end to it, right? Yes. Not hard. All right. Now, America's young men, 18 to 25. That's the area we're in. They're blowing all their money. They don't have a lot of money to begin with, most of them, but they're blowing it. And how are they blowing it? Betting. So you see Jamie Foxx and all these guys, bet. Yeah. Look, betting makes the games more interesting. But if you bet a lot of money, you're going to lose. You're going to lose a little money. But if you bet $20, it doesn't really matter, right? If you bet $200, it matters. So the study out from UCLA says that Americans legally bet a record $120 billion last year. That's up from $93 billion in 22. And people under the age of 50 were likelier to bet on sports, but under 25, they were the prime people who were betting. And they're losing their money. And they're sliding into debt. And every state has it, except Hawaii and Utah. The only two states that don't have legalized betting. So these young men, they get jobs. They're earning what? 50, 70, 80,000 a year. All right, if you live in New York, that's not much because you got to pay enormous rents and taxes and all that. And then they bet and then money's gone. You cannot win betting sports. I know sports pretty well. Okay, you can't win. It's impossible. Okay, Smart Life. This is interesting. So there's a guy named Lachlan Brown. I don't know this guy, but he wrote an article, and it's a pretty interesting article, and I'm the kind of guy that picks up on that. So the article is How to Be a Good Person. Now, do you think you're a good person? I think I'm a good person, but I go over it a lot. Okay, I'm kind of evaluating here and there. But there are five things that Lachlan puts forth in the Smart Life segment tonight. And here they are. How to be a good person. Number one, own up to your mistakes. Okay? Now, for narcissists, and our country is exploding in narcissism today, that's impossible. Because a narcissist will never admit a mistake. Therefore, they're not a good person. I subscribe to that. I believe that. So own up to your mistakes, number one. Number two, when something good happens to another person, you're happy. Ah, what's the German word? Schadenfreude, something like that. You don't want good things to happen. You're kind of jealous. But you should be happy, unless you don't like the person. Okay? And a lot of, I have a list, and if good things happen to people on a list, I'll admit it. Okay? I don't want good things to happen to these people. They're evil. But just regular folks that you know, when good things happen, you should feel happy. If you don't, okay. Number three, you help others without expecting anything in return. No quid pro quo, Latin this for that. Yeah, you just help it. Good Samaritan, right? If you do that, you're a good person. Four, you are able to forgive. Now, this is a tough one for me and a lot of my Irish peers. I expect people to ask for forgiveness. Then I'd forgive across the board, because that's the Christian tenet. But if you are unrepentant, like the Ayatollahs in Iran, I'm not going to go, oh, I forgive the Ayatollahs. I forgive Putin. I forgive Xi. When they're gleeful that they kill people, I'm not going to do it. So it should read, you're able to forgive if the person asks for forgiveness. All right. And the last one is, you are honest, but tactful. This is where I may fall down. I'm honest. All right. But sometimes I can get in your face. It can get untactful. I'm not good at that. You know, hey, one of those, you know. I have my kids rank me from 1 to 10 about being a strict parent. I'm not going to tell you what they gave me, though, yet. I will down the road. But it was very funny discussion. Because I never hit my kids, ever. And I would yell maybe once every 4 or 5 months, maybe 3 times a year. But it would be short. Because there are other ways to control children. It's much more effective to have positive reinforcement and explain why you can't hit yourself in the head with a hammer. Okay? You can usually get through. But anyway, just reviewing, own up to your mistakes, happy for others, don't expect anything when you help somebody, able to forgive if they ask for it, and honest but tactful. And if you do those things, you're a good person. This day in history, 408 years ago, all right, April 23rd, 1616. You can imagine what life was like back then. William Shakespeare dies at age 52 in Stratford-upon-Avon, England. If you're over in England, you should go to that town. Now, there's Will, called the Bard. So very poor when he grew up, and the English system prohibited him from attending college because he was a commoner. So he gets married at 18 to Anne Hathaway. They have 3 kids. And he doesn't have a lot of money, but he's very talented. So he goes to London, and he writes plays, and he's an actor. And he hits it big, okay? And he turns out stuff like Romeo and Juliet, Midsummer Night's Dream, Hamlet, King Lear, Macbeth, Julius Caesar, Merchant of Venice, Othello, all of which are on stage today. That's amazing. Okay. So he makes some money and he retires early at 49, goes back to Stratford, and 3 years later he's dead. But nobody knows why he died. And on his tombstone in Stratford, the epitaph reads, "Here lies William Shakespeare. If you remove his bones, there will be a curse on you." Nobody has ever touched that grave, even though the church around it was demolished and rebuilt. That grave, that's there. Nobody wants the curse of Shakespeare. So 408 years ago today, he died, age 52. Good mail segment and a final thought coming your way next. Let's go to the mail. Correa. O'Reilly, stop saying it's the far left. It's the Democrats. They're not denouncing the far left. They are cheering them on. So make them wear it. Look, my analysis is precise. I tell you who is doing what. You are correct that many, perhaps most Democrats, do not object to the far left element in their party. You are correct. Alice, I'm glad you talked to about the anti-Israeli protests and what's behind them. I still believe in education being a tool of information because these silly kids don't know much about history or anything else. The education train, as the cliche goes, has left the station unless you go to private school. Public school, a few will do it, not many. Bill Giovanello, Dublin, Ohio. Mr. O, you have repeatedly said Ukraine must defeat Putin, and I agree 100%. Can you define what the defeat of Putin looks like? Number one, I did not say Ukraine must defeat Putin. So that's, you're misquoting me. Okay, because Ukraine can't defeat Putin. It can stop him, not defeat him. And that's what this battle is all about. Stopping Putin, making it so painful for him to continue that finally he goes to the settlement table. Okay. Alan, the justice system has been hijacked and weaponized. SCOTUS is not doing its job, but the Supreme Court has no role in the Justice Department unless there are lawsuits brought. Supreme Court can't just call up Merrick Garland and say, knock it off, or the FBI chief. That's not their job. That's not what they do. They don't implement policy. When a lawsuit is brought, and it takes a lot to get it up to the nine justices, then they'll hear it and say whether it's constitutional or not. People think that this is some activist organization. The Supreme Court is not. It's reactive. Thomas DeSea Esquire, that means Thomas is a lawyer. Absolutely the best no-spin news in my 4 years as a premium member last night. Total information, fact-based. Went hard on Mayor Giuliani, but fair. I don't think I went that hard on him. I mean, I told him what the mistakes that were made. He didn't deny it, that they were made. The key part of that interview, if you do go back, if you're a premium member, you can watch it anytime you want, is that Giuliani and others were trying to litigate the election of 2020 in 50 places. You can't do that. A special prosecutor should have been appointed by President Trump through the Justice Department. Barr didn't want to do it. You're out of there. Get somebody else in who will. You can't do 50 different states. That was the main point. And they should have known that. Olivia Person Aisha Adaji, Lagos, Nigeria. The positive energy on origin.billoreilly.com is contagious. Well, Olivia, I appreciate it. What is she talking about? Overseas, there's a different way to access BillO'Reilly.com. Okay? In here, in America, you just go BillO'Reilly.com, pops up. Over there, you got to put the word O-R-I-G-I-N dot BillO'Reilly.com. And then you go right in. Now, we are a worldwide organization. As I told you, when I was in Malta, everybody knew me. Malta. And now we're in Nigeria, we're in South Africa, we're everywhere. I got a letter from Shanghai, China, the other day. So we appreciate you watching over there, Olivia. Stay safe. Lenora Boynton, Byron, Minnesota, if you could be so inclined to text me the best book to read about hatred of Jews. I don't have to text it to you, Lenora. It's easy. Killing the SS is the best book about hatred of Jews. By me. And Martin Newgard. Ethan Waters, Walters, Troopsburg, New York. Hey, Bill, love watching the No Spin News. 28 years old. Remember watching the O'Reilly Factor with my grandfather. I have also read the Killing books, Kennedy, Lincoln, Reagan. Just bought Patton. Can't wait to read it. Appreciate it, Ethan. We like to have the younger viewers. We're reaching a lot of them through YouTube. And we appreciate you, your kind words. Okay, BillO'Reilly.com's got specials for Mother's Day and Father's Day. We got the mugs, first of all. Not Woke, probably our biggest mug ever. We will ship them out in a few days, okay? We are assembling them in the warehouse. Self-Reliance mug's already there. Get them both for Mom and Dad. Get one. get one for yourself, whatever it may be. Not woke, send a message. Self-reliance, send a message. Then we got a bundle on Killing the Witches, The Legends, The Killers, The Mob, Crazy Horse, 33% off for mom and dad. And Confronting the Presidents, out September 10th. If you sign up or re-up your premium and concierge memberships, you get this book or any mug free of charge. This is renewal season. So sign up, give gifts. Let's keep our base high. Okay. Word of the day, do not be insolent. I-N-S-O-L-E-N-T. When writing me, Bill at BillO'Reilly.com, Bill at BillO'Reilly.com. Name and town, if you wish to opine. Final thought in a moment. Okay, final thought today is what we were just talking about, the mail. And if you want to get your letter on the air, there are three tips I have for you. Keep it pithy. I wrote a book called Keep It Pithy. You know, get to it, all right? No conspiracy zone. We don't do conspiracies here. You just waste your time and mine. And opposition to what I say is good. Just spell it out. Make your case. We like that. We like robust debate back and forth. We respect it. But just don't, oh, O'Reilly, you said. When you quote me, make sure I said what you are alleging. And for you concierge members, you get a transcript every day. You know, it's not hard. Okay, because we love the mail. I learn a lot from the mail. We want you to, you know, send it in. Be patient. We get thousands of letters. Be patient. And don't forget your name and town. Thank you very much for watching and listening on our radio stations all across the country to the No Spin News. We'll see you again tomorrow.